Got in your Bible, you might want to turn to Acts chapter 2. I'm reading not the whole of the chapter, but if you get a chance, please do. I had a great time last week. It was a very different service. And it's been very different again today, and that's what I like about being here. You never know what's going to happen next. What some wonderful stories. Hearing the folks from our church been sharing their testimony in the open air, fantastic. And people getting saved. And healed as well on the streets of Rochdale. Yeah, we've got an open air or fun day soon, and maybe we'll see some of that sort of thing happening. Just the first four verses. Oh, could I ask you for your help this morning? I know many of you go on Facebook when somebody's talking at the front here. Some of you do. Could you just confess? No, you don't need to confess it. But I've been informed that if you've got your Bluetooth on, my clicker doesn't work. It's been a mystery for, you know, it worked at the beginning when nobody's here. And so I've been informed that's the case. So if you turn your Bluetooth off, it may well work. Let's have a try. Oh! You must have turned it off already. Now it won't work again. I want to go back. Oh dear. It won't go back. Can you turn your Bluetooth off? Great. In fact, you shouldn't yet have your mobiles phones on in church because it's very rude. This is the word of the living God. And you dare to be thinking about other things instead of listening to the word of God. I'm going to pray. I'm not telling you, but a pastor has to gently rebuke sometimes. And that's a rebuke. Father, thank you for the mercies of heaven that bring forgiveness when we do things wrong. Thank you for the washing of the water of your word as it goes forth today, that people go out cleaner than they came in their thought life, in their heart, and in their lives. And we pray for the team, guys that are listening to teaching on water baptism today, that they will know that this is a good thing, an important thing, the right thing to do. Okay, thank you. Acts chapter 1, it's chapter 2. I'll come to 1 in a minute. And the day of Pentecost had fully come. They were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house and where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I want to speak this morning about three things: a new ability that God gives you when you're filled with the Spirit, a new authority that you have in your witness and in your preaching and your sharing of Jesus, and also a new appreciation of who Jesus is and what the Scriptures are all about. So it's very important that you listen today if you want to move on in your faith, if you want to know more about God, more about Jesus. Listen carefully and God will open your eyes. I am convinced of that. And here we see, first of all, a new ability to witness. If we can put the next slide on, let's see if you've turned your stuff off. No, you haven't, have you? It's not working. Is this correct, Chad? There we are. Somebody must have just turned it off. Or did you press that for me? Somebody press it? No? Oh, it worked. Thank you. Okay. Would you like to read the scriptures with me? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Who said that? Together, who said that?
Jesus.
Thank you. Some of you know your Bible, and that's very important. Jesus spoke these powerful words to his disciples who had been with him for over 3 years. He'd seen him do amazing things in his life, and healing the sick, and working miracles, raising the dead, and feeding multitudes. But then they'd seen him crucified on the cross, buried in the tomb, and raised on the third day, and he appeared to them. Over 500 saw the living Lord Jesus after his death. Isn't that amazing? And just before he died, he shared what we call the Great Commission. And he taught them. And part of his teaching before he ascended to heaven was this: but you shall receive power.
Because he knew that if he left them, they needed someone just like him to help them to be what they should be and what they were when they were with him. Jesus, as a man, could only be in one place at a time, so he needed to send his Holy Spirit to fill his disciples so that they could be like little Jesuses all over the community of Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of Rochdale. Isn't that amazing? God cares about Rochdale. So that was a prophecy, and it came to pass. But it was also a promise for each and every one of us, because it says, they did it in Jerusalem, that was fulfilled. They did it in Judea, didn't they? And then Philip, off his own back, I don't know, Philip went to Samaria and crowds were saved and healed. And then the apostles came and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They laid hands on them. But the interesting thing is, it says, and to the ends of the earth. And not all the apostles did that. In fact, today that promise is still relevant for you and for me. Today you can receive power to be a witness, a martus, one who is willing to lay down his life and shine Jesus into the world. You see, we don't shine Jesus unless we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled day by day with the Holy Spirit. It's not enough that you got baptized in water or baptized in the Holy Spirit many years ago. You need to be filled today. Not only will you receive power to be a witness, but you'll receive a new ability. Is that power? It is that. Can you go back? Please just take it back from me. Okay. But then they received a new ability to worship in a way they'd never been able to before, because worship, it was in a greater way, because they had a greater revelation of who Jesus was, a greater understanding about the person of Jesus and the work of Jesus, a new understanding through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and through the initiative that the Holy Spirit gives you. In fact, we'll go back to that next verse. I'll leave you to do this, whoever's doing the clicker. Moving on. No, go forwards, please. That's it. Can we read that together? And be not drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. If you get drunk with wine in the world, the alcohol, then you don't know what you're doing, okay? So it's daft to do it. And it could be very, you could have very serious consequences. I minister in the prison as a chaplain, and I'm dealing with guys who, through one night getting drunk, being stupid, they had got into a fight, hit somebody, and the head of the person hit the pavement, cracked open, and the guy died. And so it was manslaughter, and he's in prison now because of one night of debauchery. Friends, let us learn to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and you'll be a true worshipper. You see, it's Paul's writing to a group of people at a place called Ephesus, which is there. I've been to it. It's a real place. And in that time, he said, don't get drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I reckon we've got some Spirit-filled people here this morning. Thank you, music. Thank you, band, for helping us to get into those things this morning. But when you're filled with the Spirit, you will sing. If you're not singing on a Monday morning, if you're not singing throughout the day, maybe you're not being filled with the Spirit as much as you should be, because even in the storm you can sing. That's what we've been singing. So do it. Don't just sing on Sunday. Sing every day. Go on a Monday night to the Bridges and you can sing for your supper. That's another thing. Okay, so let's give ourselves to God and he will fill us with his Spirit. And one of the characteristics of the Pentecostal movement worldwide, the fastest part, growing part of the church in the world today, is the Pentecostal movement. Not the denomination, the movement of God in all denominations. There are millions, hundreds of millions of Christians who are born again and Spirit filled, and their churches are growing, they're mushrooming, they're planting new churches, and God is doing amazing things in the world today. But one of the outstanding characteristics of the Pentecostal movement is spontaneous worship. And we had a little bit of that this morning. That was lovely. Thank you for leading us in that. And thank you for being willing to share in that, if you did it maybe for the thousandth time or maybe the first time. So the Holy Spirit gives us the ability and capacity to worship. Well, next slide, please. You see, God is Spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and truth. We don't have to be in a building like this to worship God. Yeah? We call this a church, but actually, we're the church. People are the church, and wherever we go, we can worship God. We don't have to be on a mountain. I've been on that mountain that is spoken of in that context of that chapter. But you don't have to be there. I didn't feel any different there in Israel than I do here. You don't have to go to Israel to worship God. Isn't that great? Some of you can't afford to go, and you never go. And so, therefore, it's perhaps a good thing that you can worship in Rochdale, isn't it? And God receives your worship. Next slide, please. And so we have a new ability, not only in our witness, but also in worship, but thirdly, in warfare. Warfare is important. If you become a Christian, your eyes are open to a spiritual warfare. Some of you this week have been under attack, and you know it. It's been a difficult week, but I tell you, as you called upon the name of the Lord, he helped you. And we need to do that. And when you're filled with the Spirit, you become bold as a lion. And you it says in Ephesians 6, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. In Zechariah, let's put up the next slide. We'll read this together because it's powerful. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord God Almighty. And so you need help in this warfare because you cannot do it alone. You're not good enough, you're not strong enough, you're not big enough because we're raging against some invisible forces. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is God's gracious provision to all God's children to enable them to gain an advantage in the great warfare in which we are all involved. Who likes to be on the winning side? Can't stand losing, can you? I love to be the winner man. The winner man, the winner man. One guy sang in Jamaica when I was there. The winner man, the winner man. Jesus is the winner man, the winner man, the winner man all the time. And I am on the winning side, the winning side, the winning side. I am on the winning side all the time, even in the storm. So let's go to the next slide and realize who we are in Christ. If we're filled with the Spirit and we put on the whole armor of God, and that's in Ephesians 5:18, Ephesians 6:11, we shall have power to stand and triumph. Who likes to be victorious? You see, if you stand in your own strength, you will fall. You will fail. I know because I've done it and I failed miserably. But when I stand with the whole armour of God on, I have victory over temptation. I have victory over the enemy, this invisible power of darkness. Paul said in verse 12 of Ephesians 6, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And then in Corinthians 10, 4, he says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, of stuff in our minds that would never clear unless God did it. And I'm praying today that God, and I've already prayed it in there, and this morning, and last night, and Friday night, I was praying that God would open people's eyes. Whatever stops the blockage. People can hear this sermon yet not hear it. You can hear this message and stay the same. But if you hear this message today from God, you will never be the same. You will be so aware of the living word of God and the truth of the Holy Spirit who's come to help us to be more like Jesus than we've ever been before. And so, not only are we helped then, as we go to the next slide, we're not only helped in, next slide, the walk. We are helped with this when we're Spirit-filled with a new ability in our walk. I've got some heroes that people I've read and in church history, Pentecostal history, and some heroes that things have been passed down. When I was training for the ministry, Paul Newbury, great man of God who's now with the Lord, he was helping to train me for the ministry. And one of his heroes was Donald Gee, a great man of God and one of the Bible College principals of the Assemblies of God Bible College in Manchester, well, it wasn't the Assembly in those days. And he said that if you are all Spirit, then, no, first of all, he said, if you're all word, just doctrine, theology, and no spirit, you'll dry up. If you're all spirit and no word, you'll blow up. But if, you know, flaky people who sort of have these weird experiences, but it's not founded in the word, then he said, but if you are spirit and word,
together in your life, you'll grow up.
And I think it was him also who said, when I was reading his book, about the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. You see, the church has two wings. Has anyone ever tried flying with one wing? A one-winged aeroplane? I don't think you'd take off, would it? Wow. And sometimes the church is emphasizing the being filled with the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, but it forgets about the fruit. And sometimes we're so much on the fruit that we forget about the gifts. But I tell you that one of the gifts of the Spirit, one of the inspirational gifts, is speaking in other tongues. It's a wonderful gift. When my dad died, I got a message here, and my dad had died. I had to go and see my mum. I didn't know what I was going to say. I tell you, I just cried out in this language that God gave me. And it just brought great comfort, great release. And when I got to Mum's, my brother was there, and his wife, and Carol and I were there, and the children were there. And I tell you, there was such a sense of God's peace. Because God does that sort of thing when you're filled with His Spirit. And then there's tongues and interpretation of tongues. There is prophecy. Then we go to the other gifts, sometimes known as the gifts of demonstration, the gifts of healings. We've heard about people being healed yesterday. Why shouldn't we have healings in this house today? If you're sick, call upon the name of the Lord today and receive your healing. Because when you're filled with the Spirit comes and He brings healing to the body, to the mind, and to your emotions. And every fibre of your being can be healed this morning through the name of Jesus. Dave was telling me about Jonathan Conrath, the BBC, filming him, praying for people on the streets, and nobody got healed. But some of the team were praying somewhere else, and people got healed, and the BBC recorded those testimonies. Let's pray that John, seeing nothing and failing in his ministry, is shown, but also the others who were healed, that will be shown as well, and a nice balance will be there. You know, sometimes television is biased against the church. Do you know that? I hope you realise that. And papers, you know, there's no such thing as real journalism these days. So often, they're all biased, they're telling you their opinion. I don't want to know, I just want a report, please. I'm not bothered what you think about it. I want to know what the real news is, not the fake news or your opinion. But we have a walk with God, friends. In our walk, turn to the next slide, please, because there's a great verse here in Romans. Let's read this together. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Okay, no condemnation, and then we can walk. You see, we don't just get saved and then we're on a trip so that when we die we go to heaven. We've heard this morning about Judas not calling Jesus Lord. People want him as the Saviour and a ticket to heaven, but they don't want him as Lord. And Judas betrayed Jesus. And if you don't make Jesus your Lord, you will betray him. It's one or the other. You either follow him or you betray him. And that's what the cross is all about. That's why Jesus died on the cross, to save you from your sins, to take away the condemnation. He didn't come to condemn you. The Bible says you're already under condemnation. He came to save you from hell. He came to deliver you from the clutches of the devil. And he came to give you peace and contentment and an ability to serve him and walk with him and walk in the Spirit. And so we have the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of healing, and we also have the working of miracles. Miracles happen today. Talking about Jonathan Conrath reminds me that I was in his meeting one day in Hull. Carol was with me, she'll vouch for this. And he said, there's somebody in here who's deaf in one ear, it's the inner ear, and it's something to do with the eardrum. And God's working in your life now, and he's touching you and healing you. In the evening, a medical nurse, got up and shared her testimony. I'm that person. But you don't understand, Jonathan. Not only did I receive my hearing, I didn't have any eardrum. God has created a new eardrum in my ear, and I can hear. That's a working of a miracle. Isn't that amazing? And then there's faith, and we've been singing about faith this morning, and the other gifts that God gives are the discerning of spirits. My wife last week received a word of knowledge about somebody in the church. When you come to this church, things like that happen. And God showed what was happening in her situation, and she spoke to her afterwards. And you know what?
It was so bang on. Nobody told Carol. Nobody sort of said, oh, you know what's going on. But God spoke directly to her. She shared that and she was able to pray for that person. That person was so reassured that God knew about her situation and was willing to share it with somebody else. And she needed to talk about it, and it worked out so that God is glorified.
And there's a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, the other gift. That not only do you get knowledge, but you get the wherewithal to know what to do with that wonderful gift. But that's one wing. But then the Lord gives us another wing, which is so important. And because I've turned my Bluetooth on, I can't read what I wanted to read to you this morning from Our Daily Bread. But there's a great insight on this in regard to the fruit of the Spirit. And it's tomorrow's reading. We read today's together this morning, but I accidentally turned tomorrow's on. There's a trouble with modern technology. I don't know how to use it. One wing, the gifts of the Spirit. The other wing, the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. Wouldn't you like more love in your life? Joy. Peace. This is free. It's a gift. God deposits it into your life. You don't have to earn it or stir it up. It's there. It's a fruit of you being filled with the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. Your responsibility is to use it. It's His love. And you'll find that you love people with the love of the Lord. And so you go an extra mile with them. You love your enemy that you would normally want to... Have you ever felt like doing that?
I've never felt that. I've done it.
No. Felt like doing it. A few men in the prison that I serve have done it as well, and that's why they're in. Because we have this inbuilt tendency to want to get our own way, get our own back on someone. But love helps us to love those that we would normally have revenge over. Instead of having revenge, we share God's love and we give a gift to them. We bless them. We pay for them to go to Manchester or something, bus ride. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. He gives it to you, but you've got to use it. He gives it to you and you're filled. That's why you need, like the butterfly, you know how these butterflies can travel 3,000 miles. A little tiny butterfly can fly for 3,000 miles without a top-up. How does it do that? Because before it sets off, it spreads out its solar panels. I saw the biggest solar panel farm I've ever seen coming back from Wales yesterday. It was amazing, it was forever. It's a good, it's clean, isn't it? And it's green. Just looks funny in these fields. So, why don't you stretch out your spiritual wings, as it were, and spend time waiting up in the presence of God? Just a few minutes can change your day. Can you imagine what an hour would do? It could change not only your life, but the people around you. It could help them. It can bring light and love and peace and joy into their lives. So don't complain about yourself. Keep repeating the same old stuff. Just wait on God. And He will fill you and renew you and strengthen you and cause you to be who He wants you to be and what He wants you to be. So in your walk, Paul said, who walked not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The baptism has a tremendous bearing on the believer's walk. Being filled with Spirit, we should be led into a closer walk with the Lord. If the baptism in the Spirit, or somebody says, I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I've been filled with the Spirit, but all it is, it's about them, it's about their career, it's about their life. You see, the baptism does not enable us to have our own way and our own will. It's actually the opposite. When you're filled with the Spirit, you start desiring the things God desires, looking for the things that God looks for. And you are somehow related to God's Word and this book. Wow! Can I just encourage you to take some time and read this book? It's called the Holy Bible. And some of you have stopped reading the Bible. Maybe there's one or two who have never started reading it. But can I encourage those who haven't read it, read it. And if you stop reading it, read it again. Somebody told me the other day that they've not read the book because they went through a crisis. They've not read the Bible for ages and ages. Can't remember when I last read the Bible, she said to us. But I tell you this, when you read this book, you keep topped up. When you read this book and you ask the Lord to fill you with His Spirit, you see, a lot of Christians are running on half empty. The glass is half full. I tell you, don't be a clever Christian. Don't be clever at serving Jesus. Be real and get filled with His Spirit and filled with His Word. And I tell you, you will soar into heights that you never knew existed. You'll see things that you never even understood. The Bible will become a living word to you and you won't be able to put it down. And that's good for me to give an advert that we are doing a process in the church called 2020 Vision. 2020 Vision, okay? And on Wednesday, I encourage you to join me. On Wednesday at 6 o'clock at Costa Cafe, come and join me. If you come for the first time, I'll buy you a coffee. That's how generous I am, okay? Or if you like hot chocolate, because Costa Coffee's not as good as Starbucks, is it? But there we are. We'll go there. Anyway, if you can make it, I'll tell you what the 2020 vision. I've already got two people who said they're coming this Wednesday, so please come along. And I want six, only six. More than that, I'll send you to Julie's group. Okay? And there'll be other groups rising up, and God's going to do that. The Holy Spirit makes for more consecrated, that's lives dedicated to God. It makes for more consistent life. So many Christians are here today and gone tomorrow. So many come to church when they feel like it and don't come when they don't feel like it. They're going through a storm, so they don't come to church. I tell you, it's when you're in the storm, you need church. And when things are going well, friends, that's when we should be coming and gather together in God's house and have fellowship. Be consistent, because it will change your life. But not only that, it will change the lives of those you're living with or those you're working with. And that brings me to my next thought. You can go to the next point. In my work. In my work. The Spirit-filled life will help me in my day-to-day work. Put the next slide on. It says, Christianity in the workplace. Do you know that God is not only here this morning with His people, but He'll be with you at work, at uni, at college, at school, in the street, in Asda, wherever you find yourself? Because the Bible tells me that it's not just the man who stands up at the front or leads a church who's a priest or a pastor or a minister, but everyone, every born-again believer, everyone who's believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and is saved is a Spirit-filled minister of the Lord as they seek His face and receive His gifts from Him. Is that good news? So you're a minister. And when the disciples receive this anointing from God, they have power. They become braver than the brave. They become bolder than the bold. They have hearts that were as bold as the lion. And they stood in the face of persecution. They stood and brought conviction to religious people. You see, God doesn't want you to be religious and have the traditions of men. He wants you to know a relationship with the Father and with the Son and with the Holy Spirit, and He will change you. So are you walking with God? The Holy Spirit will make us more effective in the workplace and the service of the Master. Jesus will shine through you and you will know what to do. And there'll be, even the apostles received what we call an apostolic anointing. That didn't end when the apostles died and went to heaven. That has continued in the church throughout the years, and God is still anointing His people for works of service because He is God, because He is the Holy Spirit, because He has all power in heaven and earth as we speak in the name of Jesus with His anointing on us. And we can change, and we can see not just miracles in a church, but we can see them in the workplace. Have you ever prayed for anybody who's sick in your workplace? Yeah, good. You see, when you do that, because if you don't do it, nobody's going to be healed. But if you do it, there might be some healings. We heard it didn't always work for Jonathan Conrath the other week. But it worked for others who were not the senior evangelists. Isn't that great? Just ordinary people like you and me. And God can use us in this way. And that's what God did. He took ordinary guys and release them into a wonderful work of grace that they did. It says in Mark 16:15, it says, they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following all men. The apostolic power has never been withdrawn. Jesus said, you shall receive power to be my witnesses to the ends of the earth, to Rochdale. Let's receive that. Let that click in our hearts and our lives today. Let's have apostolic power and blessing in the area of our ministry and our lives. And this enduement, if we could just go to the next slide. Wow, the Protestant work ethic, I spoke about that last year. Thank God for the Protestants. Thank God, if you're Catholic this morning, please forgive me, but there's truth in this. The Protestant work ethic is what we need to rise up to, and we need to be restored in our land. In fact, most of our population is actually working at the moment. Isn't that good? Yeah. Anyway, the Protestant work ethic. Can anybody see themselves there? Feels like I'm at Beamish again. Next slide. New ability in work. And it says at the bottom there, endowment. The endowment, the spirit, infilling of the Holy Spirit is not the goal. When I was a youngster, I was saved when I was 8, I was baptised in water when I was 14, and filled with the Holy Spirit when I was 17. And I thought, that's it. Wow, wow, this is amazing. And that was the goal. But the pastor then began to teach me that, no, David, this is just the beginning. This is the gateway to a walk with God that you will never turn back on. A walk with God that you'll need his power. Not just in that memory of that great day when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit and my life was turned around, but every day you need to seek the face of God and be filled with the Spirit. In fact, we go back to that verse, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. It means being filled. It's a constant, continuous presence. We've got to be filled today, even if we were filled 20 years ago or yesterday. Yesterday's blessing is no good for today. Would you like last week's meal on your plate today? If Steve serves last week's food today in that cafe, I'll tell him where to put it. I want today's food, don't you? I want something fresh. And God gives us fresh, the Spirit, fresh every day. All we have to do is come, we'll have fresh bread every day, the sun-blessed way. And if you remember the advert, you'd smile. Okay. And so, as I bring this talk to a close, wow, I wish I had time to talk about the new authority, the testimony. Let's turn to the next slide. I'll just read the lines. Paul's testimony. Wow, this guy. I didn't come with eloquence. I didn't come with my learning. But I came in the demonstration and power of the Holy Spirit. Wow. It's not about being clever. There's many clever people going to hell. Many clever theologians going to hell. It's simple faith. You see, there's an equality in the kingdom of God. If you're rich, God loves you. And if you're poor, God loves you. If you're gifted, God loves you. And if you don't seem to have many gifts, God loves you. If you're like from the upper class, God loves you. And if you're from the lower of the lowest of the lower class, God loves you. And it seems to be that God loves everybody. The Queen talks about Jesus Christ as being her saviour, her own personal saviour. Isn't that good news? And I tell you this, even recently we've had people come off the streets and given their hearts to Jesus. And now they're getting involved in helping there in the breakfast club and out there on the streets telling people about you and getting jobs so that they can grow in God's love. And then there was Peter, his message, people were convicted. If you feel convicted, if you ever had, what do you call it when you get a splinter? You know when you get a splinter in your finger? I had one the other day. Well, it was when I was on holiday. I had to get a needle and start having a dig and trying to get it out. Horrible, aren't they? I don't like that prick in my finger. Pain. I'd rather get it out. Sometimes God's word pricks the heart. It convicts, and that's what he did when Peter. When Stephen spoke to the religious people, you know what they did? They gnashed on him with their teeth. They got stones and they stoned him to death. It's dangerous being a Christian. Who dares stand for Jesus today? Who dares? Certainly if you lived in Sudan, if you lived in North Korea, you're in fear of your life. In Pakistan, they're burning churches down. Prem told me in India, it's the second most persecuted place where the church is going. It is under fire and they're burning churches. Three of his dad's churches have been burnt recently. Isn't that terrible? Would you stand for Jesus? If they came here and started wrecking the place, would you still stand for Jesus? Yeah. That's the test. We've got to be willing. We've got to be ready. And they did. And so it says, for Jesus taught them in Matthew 7:29, as one having authority and not as the scribes. How we need to wait on God for that authority. I won't get to the third point, but I've got to say it because it's so important.
a new understanding, a new appreciation of Jesus, who Jesus is. When you're filled with the Spirit, you'll see Jesus. Let me just put the headlines on for me, please. A new authority, a new appreciation of the Saviour, of his person, of his position, and of his primacy. Jesus is number one. Don't just say Jesus. There's loads of Jesus. One of them plays for City. There's loads of Jesus on the planet. But we're talking here today about the Lord Jesus Christ. This Saviour is co-equal with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Jesus is co-eternal with the Father and the Spirit. Jesus is co-existent with the Father and the Spirit. Do you realise? It's God in three persons, as the hymn says, blessed Trinity. We need to preach doctrine, and when the Spirit comes in us, the Word of God will come alive, and we'll see Jesus is the Son of God, is the head of the church. And once people in a church situation start making themselves the head, I love the word of the Scottish Covenanters. This is so important. I read a book called The Scottish Covenanters. It's about people who were martyred in Scotland for their faith. Amazing men and women of God who stood for the truth. And it says, this noble band of Scottish Covenanters lived and died for what they called the crown rights of the Redeemer. In other words, they refused to recognise anyone as head of the church except the Lord Jesus Christ. So get this, the priest or the pastor is not the head of the church. The bishop over a denomination is not the head of the church. Get this, the cardinal or the monsignor who's head of the bishops in the Catholic Church, or the cardinal who's the head of the church in a nation, he's not the head of the church. And there's a guy in Rome called the Pope. He is not the head of the church, brothers and sisters. There's only one head of the church, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let's give him a glory clap. Hallelujah. He's worthy of our praise. I've got to close. I really wanted to take off on that bit, but there's so much more I would share.